The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
This is the radio show that helps you control your genes, help take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. It's you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski, the purveyor of moving this show along, moving this show through, and you, to reach the show today, you reach us by calling or emailing udocs.com, Youdocs at gmail.com. Link us up on Radio MD, on the great website that allows you to pick a show, listen to it online, or you may listen at any time by listening back on certain segments recorded. And also on iHeartRadio, go to the iHeartRadio app and download the app, or use it on the web. Click talk in the main menu and search for the users. Click talk in the main menu and then search for click, and you're there. Search for you, the Owner's Manual, and click up the radio show. Dr. Mike, it's going to be a very interesting day, highlighted by topics that are pretty interesting and pretty much linked to the medical news of the week. So this should be a pretty interesting conversation over the next 2 hours.
Well, I hope so, Joe. And the fun of it is, as you know, I get to read about 50 articles a week on Thursday and Friday nights to pick the best ones for the show. There were a lot of really good ones for this show, so I'm enthusiastic about it, and the first one was a very interesting one on, and we'll get to Joan Rivers and why she died and what you can do to prevent that for yourself too, but there are a ton of interesting stories about what you should do, about salt in your diet, about other things, about small things that make a huge difference in how long and how well you live.
Guest segment is always 35 past the hour. Who's checking in today then?
It's Dr. Fiona Gupta, who's an expert from the Hackensack University Medical Center, talking about Parkinson's disease and early warning signs of Parkinson's disease. There's no book associated with it. She's just coming on to tell us information about Parkinson's disease. And this really highlights, you know, Robin Williams died of Parkinson's disease. That is, he had Parkinson's disease and committed suicide, presumably because he was getting depressed with Parkinson's disease, or maybe because he was worried about it or worried about his finances. But in any case, this was a interesting story. That started with Parkinson's disease.
We'll get to her in a second. Foods that decrease glaucoma. What are the foods that help, decrease those problems?
Well, this is a fascinating story. Glaucoma is the leading cause of blindness among adults. And if you look at under the age of 65, it way overcomes age-related macular degeneration. Age-related macular degeneration is what happens over the age of 65. The disease of glaucoma involves an increase in pressure in your eye, which distorts the shape of your eyeball, damaging the lens, and resulting in pressure on your optic nerve. That's the nerve in the retina that relays all the information to your brain. And many people go blind because it's a very subtle way. It affects the far parts or the distant parts before it affects the central retina. And so you lose peripheral vision, and you can account for it by moving your eye. And so you don't notice it as much unless you see a doctor regularly. And so one of the things that you should do is regularly see a physician. to make sure that your pressure's in your eye. According to large population studies, though, there have been a lot of data that say maybe some foods prevent it. And so the Spanish study, this is a Spanish study looking at a huge number of people. The number, I think it was over 400,000. And they said, these are the things, there's 7 points for reducing your glaucoma risk. One, consume abundant amounts of colorful fruit and vegetables. Well, that's the same thing as you should do for the rest of your health. Two, avoid high intake of salt in patients who have glaucoma. So high salt intake raises the pressure in the bulb of your eye, in that part of your eye, and so that's especially important if you are at risk for glaucoma, if you will. So that's a key point in what you should do, avoiding the high intake of salt if you have it. Refrain from high-calorie diets to avoid an increase in body fat. So what they want you to do is go to a low-carb diet. Consider eating fish or nuts rich in omega-3 fatty acids. So omega-3 fatty acids decrease age-related macular degeneration, while they apparently decrease glaucoma as well. Avoid drinking large amounts of liquid in a single take. So drink small amounts through the course of the day. Now, this one you're going to like, Joe.
Okay.
Consume moderate amounts of red wine, black chocolate, and green tea, all of which decrease the pressure in your eye. That is red wine, black chocolate, and green tea. Avoid coffee and caffeinated beverages. And, if you will, it was the saying of Hippocrates, whatever it is, 7 centuries ago or even more, when he's the father of modern medicine, he said, let your food be your medicine. So those 7 points are important in what you should do.
What are some early signs that you may be on that road to glaucoma?
Well, it's very tough, because what you have to do is you have to use a scale that looks at your fields. The earliest sign is you're not seeing things well, or you have to change glasses frequently, or your vision has changed and changes. So it's tough to do this without getting your yearly pressure measurements. So one of the things you should get every year is your glaucoma pressure or your eye pressure measured.
So can you, when you try to bring it down, is it easy to alleviate it? And if it's not, then what are the options?
Well, the ways of bringing it down are normalizing your blood pressure and then doing these 7 food choices, including cutting back on sodium. But and usually that in many people does it, but the key is there are glaucoma medications, both drops and systemic medications, drops you put in your eyes and systemic medications that work very well, Joe.
Okay. Is it possible to totally eradicate glaucoma altogether?
Well, you don't get rid of it, meaning you've got to keep taking the medicines, but you will have no problem from taking, that is, if you keep taking the medicines, you don't end up with a problem.
Udocs@gmail.com, UDOCS@gmail.com. If you have a question for Dr. Mike, he's got answers, and we have a lot of different questions along the way. If you want to ask, you may do so. We will be joining our guest at 35 past the hour and talk about an interesting topic that Dr. Mike will interview, and it'll be very, very interesting. This is You, the Owner's Manual with Radio Radio MD, and You, the Doctor's Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.
It sounds disgusting, but the average person has 160 varieties, 100 trillion bacteria in their GI tract. Some bacteria are beneficial, many are not. Undesirable bacteria can leave you feeling tired and sluggish and bloated. A simple solution, Natron's Healthy Trinity. You've heard of Healthy Trinity. It's the premier probiotic that's been helping millions of people with digestive problems for over 20 years. This powerful probiotic can help optimize digestion, promote healthy immune, colon, and liver function. And with a healthy digestive system, you'll gain focus and energy, and you'll feel so much better. Here's a special offer, 20% off a 3-month supply of Healthy Trinity. This is a limited time offer with a money back guarantee. Get 20% off right now. Call 866-4-NATRON or go to natron.com. Enter promo code RadioMD for the discount. Don't miss a single day without taking your Healthy Trinity. Natron.com.
Ever notice when you have a baby, everyone seems to give you advice? From your mother-in-law,
don't you know you can't take that baby out in the rain today? And where is her hat?
To your own parents,
you should take the baby outside every day, even in the rain.
To your friends,
you have got to get this diaper cream. It is so much better than the one you've been using.
When it comes to the important stuff, like immunizations and protecting my baby's health, I trust my baby's doctor. She really listens to my questions about shots, she gives me great information, and she works with me to make sure my baby gets protected. And that's something even my mother-in-law can agree with.
Honey, I totally support you getting the baby vaccinated, but really, shouldn't you put the baby's hat back on?
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
Breast cancer is the second leading cause of cancer deaths among women in the United States. Better screening and treatment have contributed to a decline in breast cancer deaths. However, not all women have benefited equally from these improvements. Black women have the highest death rate from breast cancer compared to any other racial or ethnic group. We can all help reduce deaths from breast cancer. Healthcare professionals can ensure that women get the tests and treatment they need on time. Patient navigators can help guide women through the healthcare system so they get the care they need. Women need to educate themselves about breast cancer and talk to their healthcare provider about how to reduce their risk. The full benefit of breast cancer screening is achieved when every woman receives adequate screening, timely follow-up, and high-quality treatment. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. You're listening to Joe Galuski and Mike Roizen. We're coming live to you today, as usual. The story I wanted to cover next is what killed Joan Rivers. Joan Rivers, it turns out that was in for a routine, what was called a routine scoping of her vocal cords. Now, none of us ever wanted to do scoping of vocal cord anesthesia when I was back in anesthesiology, because in those days, you didn't have fiber optic scopes, meaning you didn't have very thin scopes that were flexible, so you used rigid scopes, and it was tough to ventilate through them. Now you can put a endotracheal tube down, and you can keep visualizing that while you put a fiber optic scope down. But what the docs did, and apparently they were two experienced docs, I don't know it, I don't know what resuscitation they had, I don't know how well they managed things, apparently went back to the rigid scope to do a biopsy. So when you have a flexible scope in, you can't do the biopsy. You've got to do the biopsy through a rigid scope. And for some reason, they went to cut off something on her vocal cords. I don't know whether she had agreed to this or not, but she probably did, had signed for it. And when they did that, her vocal cords went into spasm, and they lost her airway, meaning they couldn't ventilate her. When the vocal cords have some blood on it and go into spasm, you get only one chance to breathe for the patient before they get brain damage. That is, there is a response right before the person dies of what's called before they have brain damage or heart damage, called a last gasp. And so your job is to have a tight-fitting mask on the face. And when that spasm breaks, it's almost like the spasm breaks because the nerves to the vocal cord can't have any spasm anymore. There you have no, and so it's the one chance you have, and you've got to get 100% oxygen in at that, because they'll often go into spasm again and have another last gasp. And so your job as an anesthesiologist is both very frightening and very scary. We call it a brown pants time, because literally you've got to have perfect airway at that time, holding the mouth and everything, and the way you hold the mouth and the mask on to get 100% oxygen in. You've got to have the ENT surgeon get the heck out of the way so you can hold the mask and get that last breath in. And whatever happened, I don't know whether they're fighting for the airway, meaning they're both trying to get at the airway at the same time, and thus he couldn't have a perfect mask in, or whether the last gasp just wasn't able to be ventilated, or whether her facial structures due to all her facial surgery prevented it. But in any way, they obviously did not succeed at getting those last gasps of breaths in successfully. So, Joe, that's what probably killed her. Now, the question is, was this just an error in judgment to do the extra step, or was this an appropriate step that should have been done and just not done perfectly? And or was there, in fact, a disagreement between the two docs, or was there even an anesthesiologist there working with him? Was it just two ENT surgeons? We don't know the answers to those questions.
So who's going to take the rap for that?
Say it again.
Who's going to take the rap for that?
Well, if it was an anesthesiologist and an ENT surgeon both at the same time, they will both share. New York has shared guilt, if you will, and I am sure their malpractice carrier. You just can't. I mean, even if things were done perfectly, there was an error in judgment, an error in skill, and so there will be, if there is a suit, they will be paying to the limits of their suit. If, even if everything was done perfectly, it's hard to imagine that it was done perfectly, because you always can get an airway in this time, day and age, if you've got the right equipment. So the question is, did they not have the right equipment? Were they fighting over the process? Did they not do things? You know, when you have VIPs there, you've got to really be strong-willed so you don't break and don't, if you will, so you do what is normal for people, anybody, and not doing things special because it's a VIP. And the question is, did they break their normal routine because this was a VIP? Was there Was there not an anesthesiologist there? Was there not a skilled anesthesiologist there? Was there not the appropriate resuscitation and tracheostomy equipment there? Was the person helping them not skilled in a trach? Was, I mean, there are all kinds of questions that are open. So you don't know why this happened, but it shouldn't happen ever.
Must be the most important person in that operating room, isn't it? It's got to be with the pressure and the way things can change. On a staff on a dime. I mean, that position of anesthesiologist, I can't imagine the pressure and conducting what that person has to do.
Well, that's exactly right. They say anesthesia is moments of fear by hours of boredom. It's no longer that way anymore because things have gotten a lot faster. But it is moments of fear. And the ENT surgery, if they did a rigid, what we call rigid, which is a silver tube bronchoscopy, and didn't allow the anesthesiologist to have a tube in, the anesthesiologist still should have had a small fiber optic in that with a tube attached to it that he could have pushed past that lesion no matter what. And so, but if the surgeon, the outpatient office or wherever this was done, was not equipped with this type of equipment, then he should have never done it. Then there's outright malpractice. But in fact, we used to, when we were in training, say that ENT surgery, that is this type of surgery, is the most dangerous, the most risky, and was done. We only have young guys do this that is skilled, but they can't be in their 60s and 70s when you're an anesthesiologist because those guys would have a heart attack during this cases. So it's the toughest cases to do.
Okay, udocs@gmail.com. If you smoke, you should not use salt. How come, Dr. Mike?
Well, this is a very interesting study. It was almost an accidental study, but they looked at patients who had rheumatoid arthritis, and they found out that there was a much higher incidence of, if you will, excess sodium in their diet. So this is a large study. I think it was something like 2,000 people with rheumatoid arthritis, and they examined and they said, what's in their diet that's different from all the other people? And they looked at it carefully, and it wasn't just sodium. It was a high sodium intake, and they got they smoked marijuana routinely, they smoked cigarettes routinely, and my guess is they could have been vaping as well, because it was nicotine plus the sodium. So it was nicotine plus high sodium diet more than doubles your risk of rheumatoid arthritis.
udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com, on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Guest time coming up, so stay with us and ask a question at udocs@gmail.com.
Although, Joe, we should also tell them the phone number.
Yes, 877-711-5211. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
Are you one of the millions of Americans whose thyroid gland isn't functioning the way it's supposed to? Well, now, there's hope. Introducing Actolin. Actolin is a dietary supplement that contains 17 ingredients that support thyroid function, your adrenal health, your energy metabolism, and your immune health. Actolin's nutrients were handpicked by the renowned holistic practitioner, Dr. David Brownstein. And now, for a limited time, you can get a risk-free trial of Actolin when you enroll in our convenient SmartShip program and cover the first low shipping and handling
handling fee of $4.95. That's right. Try Actolin as part of our risk-free trial and just pay $4.95 shipping. Learn more and sign up today at ActolinRadio.com. That's ActolinRadio.com or call 800-500-HEALTH. That's 800-500-4325. And mention promo code Actolin Radio. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.
Every 39 seconds, an adult dies from a heart attack, stroke, or related disease. These conditions claim the lives of more than 800,000 adults each year and are largely preventable. Two leading risks for heart disease and stroke are high blood pressure and high cholesterol, serious conditions that often have no symptoms. 68 million adults have high blood pressure, and 71 million have high cholesterol. Here's what you can do to reduce your risk. Take your prescription medications to control blood pressure or cholesterol. Eat a healthy diet that's low in salt, fat, and cholesterol, and full of fresh fruits and vegetables. Take a brisk 10-minute walk, 3 times a day, 5 days a week. Don't smoke. If you do, quit now. While you've been listening, one person has died from heart disease or stroke. You don't have to be next. Learn more about how to keep your heart healthy at www.cdc.gov/heartdisease.
You're getting older and feeling older. And you're looking older. Well, you may feel like, well, there isn't anything I can do about it. But there is. BioCell Collagen helps you fight aging and your achy joints and pains. BioCell Collagen is a unique, patented supplement that promotes joint health and skin beauty from inside out. Now, in clinical trials, supplementation with BioCell Collagen was proven to boost collagen levels, reduce fine lines and wrinkles, while promoting joint mobility. Sound too good to be true? Find out how this patented supplement can help your skin look younger, improve joint comfort, and quality of life. Just go to BioCellCollagen.com and see what we're talking about. That's BioCellCollagen. BioCellCollagen.com.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Brought to you by You Beauty and Morning and Night Multivitamins. Conversation time today on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And Dr. Mike will introduce her. And I'm expecting a stimulating interview. Introduce the guest, Mike.
Well, Dr. Fiona Gupta is our guest today. She's a expert on Parkinson's disease and is medical director of the Deep Brain Stimulation, DBS, program of movement disorders at Hackensack University Medical Center. If you want to ask her a question directly, it's at Fiona, F-I-O-N-A, Gupta, M-D. By her Twitter handle is Fiona Gupta, M-D. So you can do that directly. If you want to get her on a web, www.NorthJerseyBrainSpineCenter.com. So she is the principal investigator of clinical trials of movement disorders, which are being conducted at Hackensack. So she's a neurosurgeon who's specializing in this. And one of the interesting things is she specializes in Parkinson's disease. So, Dr. Gupta, what is Parkinson's disease? How common is it? And is it getting more frequent?
Right. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. And, you know, it's really important to discuss Parkinson's disease because it is becoming more and more common. And there are so many symptoms that encompass Parkinson's disease. So I think education is really, really important with regards to just adequate treatment. There's about 1 million people in the U.S. who have Parkinson's disease. So, you know, it is becoming more common, and there's about 60,000 new cases per year. But those numbers, actually, in the next 10 years are going to double, if not even triple beyond that. So this is why it's very important to have a lot of awareness with something like Parkinson's disease. And my role as a movement disorder neurologist is really to educate.
And so there are 1 million people with it. Now tell me about a little bit more about Parkinson's disease. That is, what is it? And although it's movement disorder, we've heard from Robin Williams it can create depression. We know from Michael Fox it creates some funny movements. But tell us more, a little bit more about what we should know about it and what you should know if you're worried about getting it. Is there any way of preventing it? What do we do for treatment? Is there any reason to look for early signs? What are the early signs?
And those are all terrific questions. So, yes, Parkinson's disease is considered a movement disorder, a disorder of movement. And there are kind of four symptoms that we look for when we make a diagnosis of Parkinson's. One of them might be a tremor. Tremor is usually a resting tremor where a patient, their limb is at rest and they begin to shake, but when they actually go to pick something up, the tremor stops. It's a little different than something called an essential tremor. Another cardinal sign is muscle rigidity. So patients often find that their limb becomes heavy or they're dragging a foot or the dexterity is off. The third cardinal feature is called bradykinesia. That basically means slow movement. So, you know, things like brushing your teeth, getting dressed, just daily activities have become slower. And then, you know, the fourth cardinal feature needed to make a diagnosis is gait instability, so falls or, you know, difficulty initiating gait, difficulty not swinging an arm, you know, turns not being smooth. But it's very important to realize that every single patient with Parkinson's is different. There's really no two people that are alike in how they present in their symptom course and how they respond to medication and other treatments. So even though we have those four features that, you know, you usually need two or three to make a diagnosis, everyone is very different. It was an excellent question you asked about early Parkinson's because now we have learned that there is a slew of symptoms called premotor or early signs and symptoms of Parkinson's that may develop even before someone becomes stiff or slow or shaky. And these are things like depression. Depression is very common in Parkinson's disease. And now we know that it can manifest even up to like 5 years before the onset of actually motor symptoms. Other things that may occur are things like loss of smell. There's something called REM behavioral disorder where patients actually tend to yell in their sleep or talk in their sleep or thrash and have vivid dreams. We now know that may be a symptom or a precursor of Parkinson's disease, and a few other symptoms like constipation and anxiety. So these may account for, you know, these premotor symptoms or signs. And I think why these are important to understand as being symptoms that may present before actually the motor symptoms occur in Parkinson's is really because we know through many good studies and just our own clinical experience that things like exercise and, you know, dietary modification and proper sleep and stress reduction, these all play a significant role in, you know, potentially slowing down the progression of Parkinson's and improving quality of life. So perhaps if we can identify individuals that might be more prone to developing Parkinson's, we can implement these quality of life measures a bit earlier on.
Is there what about early? We've got an email from someone said, "What about early drug treatment? Does early drug treatment slow it? What about early exercise? You've talked about it. We've talked before on the show about exercise." With Jay Alpert's about exercise being something that may cause improvements or remissions in it. What about that? Does early exercise help?
Sure. So exercise, 100%, definitely, yes, will help. And I believe it will help with slowing the progression of Parkinson's. So this is why whenever I make a diagnosis of Parkinson's, whether it's sort of in the premotor or motor phase, we have a long discussion about exercise. It's absolutely crucial in regards to living well with Parkinson's disease. There have been some studies looking at, you know, just quality of life in patients who are treated with medication early than those who, you know, kind of took the old approach of watch and wait, and those who actually started medication earlier, they did better with quality of life. But we, at this point, you know, there's really nothing definitive that comes in medication form that I believe is, you know, will slow the progression. But it does help a lot with quality of life.
And now, you're involved with deep brain stimulation. Tell us a little bit about deep brain stimulation and what that does.
So deep brain stimulation, or DBS as it's kind of referred to, has really revolutionized the treatment of Parkinson's disease. Deep brain stimulation is a surgical procedure. It involves inserting a small, you know, electrode the size of a piece of hair into a target area of the brain. There's different targets, are really responsible for creating this dysfunction in the brain that's not communicating effectively with the body, that is causing the Parkinson's symptoms. So by putting in a stimulator into the brain, it's then connected through a wire into the chest wall. There's a small pacemaker. We can program and we can adjust and we can modulate and stimulate the brain in different ways to really control the symptoms of Parkinson's disease very effectively. Deep brain stimulation will help patients, especially those who are taking a medication called levodopa, or Sinemet is another name. Basically, in those patients who are very responsive to the medication, they take the medication, they do well, but over time that effect is less and less, and patients are having to take more medication. They're having issues where they might be on with the medication, it's helping them move, but then they sharply come off and then become very stiff and rigid and tremulous. That's called motor fluctuations. Or when patients take their medication and they get those big, funny, kind of writhing movements that you mentioned earlier on. So when that occurs, deep brain stimulation is an excellent option because you're really offering patients another way of controlling their symptoms. And in some cases, we are able to reduce the medication quite significantly. So there's many positives with deep brain stimulation. And I encourage all patients with Parkinson's disease, whether or not they may be a candidate, or no matter what stage they are in the course of the Parkinson's disease, to really learn about this treatment. It's really revolutionized Parkinson's disease, and there's over 100,000 patients in the U.S. who have had it. So this is not
okay. We will continue with that when we come back. We've got a hard break now, Dr. Gupta. We've been talking with Dr. Fiona Gupta on Parkinson's disease. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Call in if you want. We'll be right back.
You're getting older and feeling older. And you're looking older. Now, you may feel like, well, there isn't anything I can do about it. But there is. BioCell Collagen helps you fight aging and your achy joints and pains. BioCell Collagen is a unique, patented supplement that promotes joint health and skin beauty from inside out. Now, in clinical trials, supplementation with BioCell Collagen was proven to boost collagen levels, reduce fine lines and wrinkles, while promoting joint mobility. Sound too good to be true? Find out how this patented supplement can help your skin look younger, improve joint comfort, and quality of life. Just go to BioCellCollagen.com and see what we're talking about. That's BioCell Collagen. BioCellCollagen.com.
It's illegal and dangerous for teens to drink any alcohol and then drive. Still, 1 in 10 high school teens drank and got behind the wheel of a car in 2011. If you're a parent, be aware that when teens drink, it's usually to get drunk. Teenagers can't legally buy alcohol, but many get it from their homes or the homes of their friends. Drinking and driving is never okay. Make sure your teenager has a safe way to get home in case they're out with a teen driver who's been drinking. Put this in a parent-teen driving agreement, which should also include wearing a seatbelt and following their state's graduated driver licensing laws every time they're behind the wheel. Find a sample at www.cdc.gov/parentsarethekey. Parents really are the key to safe teen driving. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
We get it. Who wants to talk about vaginal itching and irritation? Vaginal itching, burning, and irritation can be very embarrassing to talk about, even to your gynecologist. Though this topic can be quite uncomfortable, this vaginal problem could be affecting you, just as it affects millions of other women. Thankfully, there is now a product that can provide you with instant relief. We mean fast, as in relief right now. Prevalief Soothe is a natural, paraben-free, rapidly absorbing lotion that is comfortable and soothing to apply. Prevalief Soothe uses a new, natural soothing peptide complex and is made with natural probiotic technology to support vaginal health. To stop your itching fast, visit Prevalief.com to find out more information and purchase the product for immediate relief from your feminine issues. That's Prevalief.com. Prevalief, for immediate comfort and relief.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? First, I had to decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more, so I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore, and frustration a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy and giving up impossible. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
At Nordic Naturals, we know that a commitment to deliver the world's safest, most effective omega oils requires an exceptional process. That's why we manage every step of production from boat to bottle. You can trust the quality of our products and know you're getting all the health benefits omega-3 fish oils offer. Nordic Naturals' high-quality, great-tasting omega-3s make staying healthy easier for you and your family. When choosing an omega-3 fish oil, choose the number one fish oil in the U.S. Choose Nordic Naturals. Available at natural products retailers or online at nordicnaturals.com.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Guest time continues on the show with our guest and Dr. Mike Roizen. Our topic today is Parkinson's disease, and let's go back to our guest and Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike.
Well, this is Dr. Mike. We've been talking with Dr. Fiona Gupta, who is the movement disorder specialist, a neurosurgeon, who is, I think, and I've lost her information, but I think she's director of the Deep Brain Stimulation Program at the Movement Disorder Center at Hackensack University Medical Center. She's a neurosurgeon who's obviously specializing in this. She completed a prestigious two-year medical fellowship in movement disorders at Mount Sinai in New York, and her neurology training was at the University of Connecticut. The Hackensack Medical Center is one of the four institutions in the nation and the only one on the East Coast using the world's most advanced surgical tools in neurosurgery to guide treatment of Parkinson's disease. So this is a really unique opportunity. We have lost both Joe's computer is down and my email line is down. So if you want to ask us questions, we normally get a lot of email questions at udocs@gmail.com. But for some reason, that is not working for me tonight. And Joe's got a total computer outage. So the only way of communicating a question with us is if you want to do so, call us at 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211. I apologize for our computer glitches. Fiona, and by the way, the Twitter handle is at Fiona Gupta, G-U-P-T-A, M-D. So if you want to tweet her, at Fiona Gupta, M-D. Fiona, we were talking about the role of deep brain stimulation. One is, you said it might decrease, or usually does decrease, medication usage, which is important because the medications, you become refractory to them. So anything that can decrease their usage, I assume, prolongs their usage. Can you alternate between them? How does this work with, if you are on medications such as Sinemet and go to deep brain stimulation, do you then go back and forth? Does this prolong life? Does it prolong quality of life?
Sure. So those are excellent questions. When we talk about treatment of Parkinson's disease, it's important to kind of break down, you know, what we talked about earlier, the non-pharmacologic, the exercise, the diet. And then talking about medications for Parkinson's disease, they can be very effective. We have about 10 different medications out there, and you can kind of use them all together or in as adjunctive or alone. So, I mean, there's a lot of different ways of treating Parkinson's disease. And the medications, you know, they are very effective, but over time, as you mentioned, patients may become refractory or patients have difficulty tolerating them. They develop cognitive side effects or hallucinations or low blood pressure, or there's many different side effects. So this is where deep brain stimulation is an option, and that you, in the right patient, you may be able to reduce the medications and limit the adverse effects. But the key is not to discontinue totally. It's really to kind of use them together.
So someone, Marilyn from Ohio, is on the line. Marilyn, can you tell us, do you have a question for Dr. Gupta?
Is Parkinson's disease curable?
Yeah, that's a great question, Marilyn. Right now, you know, there's no cure for Parkinson's, unfortunately, per se, although, you know, there's many things that are being looked at and lots of different studies going on with things like gene therapy and, you know, but really with Parkinson's disease, it's manageable. And with the right treatment, patients can live very well with Parkinson's disease.
What age does it usually progress or start?
Well, again, everyone is very different in terms of when it starts and how it progresses and so on. So there's really no, you know, guidebook to really dictate. But the average age that it presents is usually the sixth decade. So maybe early 60s, late 60s. Although I have patients across the board. My youngest patient, I think, is like 21 or 22. And my oldest is up in there about 105. So it really is very diverse, but typically it's usually 6 or 7 decades, 60s or 70s, and, you know, everyone's very variable in progression.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you.
And now so it's variable, it's not curable. Now, I do have one question I got on the email line before it went dysfunctional, and this is someone who said, why is it increasing? Is it caused by something in our environment affecting us? And do people typically, and she's got a set of questions, but this is a woman and has a great set of questions, I thought. And she said, are the symptoms, in other words, apparently Robin Williams got depression. Does that stay his most prominent symptom, or do they all progress to movement disorders?
Oh, okay. Very good question. So why is the numbers increasing? Yeah, there's probably a couple different reasons for that. Number one, people are living longer. Those with Parkinson's disease are living much longer through better treatments and more awareness of just exercise and positivity and so on. So I think patients are living longer. I think we're diagnosing patients earlier with Parkinson's disease because we're much more aware of the symptoms that occur. And, you know, the thought behind the etiology or how someone develops Parkinson's is probably a blend between environmental factors and potentially, you know, someone being genetically susceptible. You know, they might be susceptible and then something in the environment comes along. So, you know, things that have been speculated are things like pesticides and herbicides and just things that are like, you know, toxins in the environment. So I think it's kind of multifactorial as to why the numbers are increasing. And with regards to the second question, which was,
The second question was, do people who develop it always stay with the same problem?
Mm-hmm. Okay, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, Parkinson's disease is really a head-to-toe condition, so there's many different symptoms. There are, you know, a subset of patients who have what we call these non-motor symptoms, things like depression and anxiety, and those really manifest as their most predominant symptoms. But to diagnose Parkinson's, you do need some of the motor symptoms, like the tremor or the stiffness or the slowness. So, you know, everyone, again, is so variable in what's going to progress, but I think just, you know, with good care and meticulous follow-up, you know, we can really help a lot of these symptoms and help to stop them maybe from progressing.
Thank you very much. And we've been talking with Dr. Fiona Gupta, an expert in Parkinson's disease and deep brain stimulation. Dr. Fiona Gupta, to email her, actually to tweet her, at Fiona Gupta, FionaGupta, MD. And maybe you can find out something more about it if you want to. Now, do we have enough time, Sonar, for our tip of the week? We don't have enough time, so in the second hour, we will do two tips of the week. You can always find us at RadioMD.com. By Tuesday of the week, we have the archives from the previous week. If you want to hear what we're going to talk about, you can get on the Twitter line at Dr. Mike Roizen. And if you want to subscribe to our weekly newsletter, just put at you.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt-based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
Antioxidants. You've heard of them, but do you know what they're good for or where to get them? This is Sylvia Escott Stump of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Antioxidants. They destroy the free radicals that cause cellular damage. And eating foods that are rich in antioxidants may help prevent cancer and heart disease. These foods include red wine in addition to grape juice, whole grain pasta, eggs, seafood, and canned beans, brightly colored vegetables, carrots, squash, broccoli, all the peppers, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, and kale are other tasty sources. And for those of you with a sweet tooth, good news. Honey, brown sugar, and maple syrup, in addition to fruits like blueberries, cantaloupe, peaches, and strawberries, also contain significant levels of antioxidants. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Sylvia Escott Stump with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.